This guy's a natural. Ephesians chapter 4. So there's two among five that are well known. If you go back into their history back in the 30s and 40s, and I have read this, I actually have a book on their meetings. You go back into the history of the pubs in London around Cambridge. These two men were very well known. There was a woman among them and two other men. They were all writers, and two of them were professors, one a professor in Cambridge. You know the one very well. His name is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis. Can you think of who the other person might be? That's right, J.R.R. Tolkien. They were called together, all these people that gathered, they were called the Inklings. The Inklings, putting pen, quill to paper, and writing and publishing their materials. They would generally read to each other their materials in that pub. And of course, they never really got sauced, but all their compatriots around the pub, they would get to where they were singing and weaving back and forth. And I have to just share with you that that was not just part of British culture to this very day, but that was part of the first century world, the Mediterranean world. As I mentioned last week in preparation for this very short series, it will continue next week with Mary, the mother of our Savior. But as I shared with you before, these were people that drank wine. Generally, the wine, it had to be fermented or it wouldn't last in their world. There were two basic preservatives in the first century world. You can look this up. Today, we have all kinds of preservatives. In fact, some of them are probably going to be pulled from the market, thanks to Robert Kennedy. But so they were salt. Salt, you must have salt, especially with meat. And then fermentation. So when you had goat cheese or sheep's cheese, I particularly like the Manchego sheep's cheese out of Spain. They made cheese because they couldn't preserve the milk. After several days, it would spoil. So they had the mother, that is, that they had that special, those special, really bacteria is what it is, but there's another word for it, yeast. And so they had this special yeast, and they would keep that yeast. It was very important to keep it, but they didn't want it in the house because then things would go kind of crazy. So every year in the springtime, they would have spring cleaning to make sure there's no yeast in all the corners and pockets around their homes. On the farm where I grew up, we slaughtered five hogs, sows, a combination thereof, every fall. And we would wait till November so that days were cold and crisp. And we had these large cast iron vats, three of them going, with fires underneath, stoked. And you didn't waste a thing on these animals. Through the centuries, the millennia, they have learned to use every part of an animal. Every part of an animal is valuable. Yeah, you knew. We would make scrapple and pawn hoss. And I won't even tell you what's in it, but I can't wait for the Scrapple Festival down in southern Delaware here. But you eat everything. But we were old school. My mother used to make sauerkraut from German recipes. And also, we would hang slabs up in the basement. We had soaked them in salt brine, and then we had covered them, rubbed them with salt. And that's how you got your bacon and other parts from these hogs and sows. And then when we wanted bacon for the winter, and I don't know that there's any better, you take it up and you soak it in water to get the salt out of it, because the salt's just a preservative, keep the bugs out of it and all that. You never get mold or anything on the bacon. It never turned green, and boy, was it good. And the same with the scrapple. We kept the scrapple in rooms that were bumped out from the house so that they would stay cold all winter. And you just go in there with sheets of scrap and you just cut what you wanted and fried it up. It was just, it's making me hungry. So we got to quit here. My point only is that preservatives ran the ancient world, and Paul knew this, and Paul said to them, I know, guys, you have all your wines. You have to have them fermented. I get it. I've even told Timothy, take a little bit because of your frequent infirmities, your stomach issues. As I had mentioned last week, my dad's dad, who lived in 91, was the town alcoholic. And so my dad would have nothing to do with alcohol because of that, and rightly so. But because of my hiatal hernia and other problems that I had had throughout my youth, my dad came to me one day, and he wasn't thinking so clearly about whether this would be medicinal or not, but that's what he was hoping. And he said, you know, Jay, Paul says this to Timothy, and I just want you to know, even though my dad was an alcoholic, I don't have a fear for you. And if you need a little alcohol that would help you with your infirmities, that's okay with me. And I thought, well, Dad, I don't, but that's amazing. It's just amazing that he had this courage, based on the Word of God, to maybe take a chance with his son about something that had just busted their home up when it came to his dad. That's amazing to me, this kindness that my dad had for all of us children. In the book of Ephesians, when Paul says, I want you to walk in the light, you're not in darkness. I want you to be wise, making the best use of your time. The days around us are evil. It's not just that they're becoming more evil. They were evil when we lived in them decades ago. They've always been evil, somewhat less at times, somewhat more at times. They were always evil. God raised up, by the way, the Wesley brothers, particularly Charles, but the Wesley brothers because brandy and other things were becoming a real problem in British society back in the 1700s. The brothels were just taking off, the bars were taking off, the pubs, and it was becoming a real problem. And God raised up, you can look it up, Charles, John, and the Wesley brothers to address this. And God revived Great Britain. He revived the island from Scotland to Ireland over to southern Wales. And he brought the gospel to bear, and it staved off the decline of the British society. See, God knows how to do things when he wants to do things. And he says through Paul to the Ephesians, guys, look, I know you used to live this way, but understand the will of the Lord. Now, we don't have to guess about that. That will come up later on in chapter 5 and chapter 6. But I think what he was going is what we're going to read right here. You were once darkness, now you're light. Understand that God wants you to make the best of your days. So here we go. So it's no use sitting around with your friends at the pub getting inebriated. I tell you what, why don't you be filled with the Spirit? And instead of singing the little ditties around the pub, singing with each other and carousing, he says, why don't you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody from the heart to the Lord. As I've mentioned over the weeks, months, and years, do you have a song that comes to your mind when things are going well? You just want to sing to the Lord? I've got songs that come to my mind. I haven't sung them for decades. And I'll just think, wow. And so it's coming back to me to sing the Lord. Maybe it's this series. I don't think so. It had been coming back for several months. Making melody in our heart with the Lord. Next verse, verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God our Father. Now I want to ask you this. And I just want you to be aware of it. Can you say that you're consciously aware at any time of being filled with the Spirit? You just say, I don't know. And you begin to bite your nails and you're just curious about it. I don't know. Friends, you should know. You should be redeeming the time. This is part of it. And getting together and being joyful. Just enjoying your friends and your company. I enjoyed everybody at the hospital. I'm enjoying everybody at my CR, my Celebrate Recovery, and also at my cardiac rehabilitation. So I've got several CRs every week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, is my cardiac rehabilitation. I enjoy all those people there. I'm talking to a fellow from India now concerning the gospel. He has a grave interest and actually might be born again. I'm enjoying him. So let's go back to Psalm 30. Psalm 30, as you think through, can I ever really say that I'm filled with the Spirit? Well, number one, you would know that the Spirit has to be behind this if you had a passage of Scripture or a song or a chorus that you keep playing over and over in your mind. And you just can't seem to shake it. And you're just kind of happy and thankful. You're just grateful. That can't come from anywhere but the Holy Spirit. That's what it comes from. And so yesterday I was glad for the warm weather, the sun. Maybe I have a little bit, I'm not sure. So I got into my car. My car has been stumbling a little bit, and I thought, I need to get into the plugs and perhaps the coils. I talked to Todd Jr. about it. I said, Todd, now if I get in here and I can't finish the job, I said, would you be available? Yeah, Pop, I'll be available after 5. I was thinking, well, 5, that's a little late, so I might have some running to do. So I tore the engine down. I got pictures of it. Tore down the air handlers, tore down everything. There was a lot you have to take off of these new cars. And I got all the way down to, they got the plugs right in the center of the engine anymore instead of out on one side. And I got to changing out the coil packs, pulled them out and the plugs and got it all back together. It does a lot better, but apparently the injectors now need to be worked on. But I did it in 3.5 hours. And I feel good. I was given permission by the cardiac recovery to do that. And I had good weather yesterday, and I'm so grateful. I just thanked the Lord. I was humming the whole time. Some of the songs I was humming were secular songs, I admit. But just enjoyed my work. I wasn't like the dwarfs in Cinderella whistling while I worked. But I felt good. But I hadn't been feeling good for some time, and you all know it, and you perhaps haven't been feeling good. And I want to show you something in Psalm 30, because the Psalms are written for our feelings. They're great theology, but these are theologies put to how we feel. And in Psalm 30, I'm going to identify David's problem in this psalm right away. In Psalm 30, verse 6. So if you're there, whatever translation you have, follow along. Verse 6, as for me, I said when everything was gone great, I shall never be moved. Well, I'm settled now. I think the Lord Jesus had this psalm in mind when he gave that parable of the man who had bumper crops one year. And he says, there was a man who had bumper crops one year. And this man says, I know what I'll do. I'll enlarge my properties. I'm going to build bigger and better barns. Bigger and better barns. Sounds like Betty had a better butter. But I'm going to build these barns. And then Jesus says to all of them, he says, now what do you think God thinks about this? God's not against barns or anything, but this man's heart wasn't at all right with God. And he goes to this, what's a profit a man? Because that night God says, I require of you your soul tonight. And he's just engaged in building bigger and better barns. Not unlike many of us in our Western capitalistic society. I'm not against capitalism at all. More power to us. But still, get right with God is what Jesus was emphasizing, because that man died before he could even see his barns completed. And he says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here, what does it profit a believer to get where they're feeling like now, okay, that's all settled. I don't have to worry about a thing now. I got everything I want, my banks, my retirement. I'm good to go. Now, by the way, I wasn't feeling that way before my heart attack. I was just feeling great, having gotten through 4 years of really real challenges. I was just feeling great. I was very grateful to God. But then I had this setback, and now I'm coming out of this just fine. I thank the Lord for it. But David says this, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I'm embarrassed to say it, I'll never be moved. In fact, by your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. I know that now. But you hid your face when I didn't acknowledge that you were in it. Do you see this? You hid your face, and I was dismayed. So I had this great and wonderful mountain. I'm never going to be moved. This is Psalm 30. And God says, well, really? Well, let's see how far you get without me. And you hid your face, and I was dismayed. Now, what do you call it when a man or a woman brags or boasts? And there's nothing wrong in my mind with boasting up to a point. Did God boast after he made our world? And he should, by the way. He steps back, the Trinity, they're talking to each other. What do you think? Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah, I do too. I'm glad we planned all this. And so God says, yep, this is very good. We get that in our own human nature. We're made in the image of God. We should enjoy the things that God helps us to accomplish. We absolutely should. But we shouldn't bank on them as the element that makes our life successful or fruitful or progressing, all in all, we bank on the Lord. And David got to where he was very successful in the kingdom building that God had given him as a task, and he drifted. David, a man after God's own heart, drifted from the Lord. This is Psalm 30. There are others. Psalm 39 is the same way. And he's gotten himself into a real pickle, so we have Psalm 51 and 32. There are many. But Psalm 30. And so God hides his face. God says, well, that's it. I'm stepping back, David. Let's see how long your stuff lasts and how much it does for you. And David says, you step back. I was dismayed. But David did this, verse 8, to you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I pled for mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. That's a cool thing. You have all these tremendous truths packed throughout the Old Testament, and they come out in the New. Remember, there was this Pharisee came right up front the synagogue, and there was a publican that came in, and he stood in the back. He just felt so unworthy. He stood in the back, and he wouldn't even lift his eyes up, wouldn't make eye contact with anybody. And the Pharisee, he starts in the front. Now, Lord, I thank you that I'm doing better than most. Certainly better than that guy in the very back. I do this, and I do that, and I do this. And then Jesus goes, says, now, with regard to the guy in the back, he wouldn't even lift his eyes, and he kind of, oh, God, my life is just a wreck. And I brought it on myself. Could you just be merciful to me? Well, here's Jesus, another parable. Comes right out of this psalm and others. These are tremendous truths. Listen, being filled with the Spirit, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs. Should we be surprised that Jesus brought his teaching out of these great truths? They're all packed in here. Makes you want to run home and read a psalm, doesn't it? Let's finish this one first. I cry and I plead, and then I say, Lord, look, how could I give you thanks if I'm dead? I know what I need to do now. I need to change my perspective. I need to change the way I live. I need to give you credit. See verse 9? What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? I can't praise you from the dust. My lips will be dead. Will it tell of your fidelity, your faithfulness? Hear, Lord. Be merciful to me, oh God, be my helper. And you turn for me my mourning into dancing. Verse 11. Isn't that something? Now let's go back up and do the first six verses of this psalm. See, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us when we start it, because the truth is in the middle, and that's where you start. We had to start where David was, I'd never be moved now. Look at all that I have. And God stepped back, and I was dismayed, and I cried out, oh, look, I'm sorry, I never really gave you credit. Well, at least I stopped giving you credit, and on and on. So now we understand how he starts this. Verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord. I'll extol you, not my mountain, in which you made me strong. And then you hid your face, and I was dismayed. No, I know now. I'll extol you, O Lord. You've drawn me up. You haven't let my foes rejoice over me. Look at that, he fell finally. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Oh, Lord, you've brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. He says to all the crowd around him, you all sing praises to the Lord. You got mountains out there. You're doing well. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. He might be angry with you every now and then. It's just a moment. He was angry with me. He was dismayed because I didn't praise him. I didn't give him credit. I settled down and thought, my mountain is secure. I'll never be moved. No. He was angry for a moment. But his favor with which he has restored me is for a lifetime. So weeping may tarry for the night, but thank God, joy comes with the morning. So verse 11, you've turned for me my mourning into dancing, you've loosed my sackcloth, you've clothed me with gladness. I'm back from the dead. And verse 12, here's the entire reason, that my glory that which makes me substantial, that which was my mountain. That's what he gloried in. My glory was my mountain, which God built for me. My glory was my mountain. The qualities that I have as an individual, made by the King of Kings. Every human being is a miracle. Every human being. And all the variations that involve you as a person are part of the image of God. These are wonderful things. Paul would say to the Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? Are you clever with numbers? Where'd that come from? God's even more clever. Are you good artistically? Where'd that come from? Just look at the sunsets. You could go on and on. Everything that you have, Paul says to the Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? And he says, look, let me tell you something. And the whole world is yours. For whatever God wants to accomplish, everything belongs to you. Whether it's Peter, my fellow worker Barnabas, Apollos, me, the whole world is yours for what God wants to do in your life. Now that's just mind-boggling. We don't feel that way often when things are going sideways. And if God's angry or frowning, we're just like, oh no, I'll never get back. Read Psalm 30. And the whole intent, look at this. God's intent was not to say, David thinks highly of himself. We can't have that. No, we're jealous, aren't we? Yes, we are jealous of our glory and blah, blah, blah. So that's pound him into the ground. Pile drive. That's not what God is all about. God says he's getting bigger than his britches. I know. And then we can't even live with him. We're going to have to humble him. But only so much. Otherwise, we'll break his spirit. Broken spirit, who can bear? I know, we're not going to break his spirit. We're going to humble him. And so God just does what it takes. Do you hear that? He just does what it takes. Aren't you glad? And David says it. I want to tell about your faithfulness. You were faithful to me. I wasn't faithful to you. I got headstrong. I got over my skis. And you stepped in and you helped me by humbling me. Now, everything that I'd love to brag about, my glory, it'll exalt you. And so, David, you're doing so well in the kingdom. All your enemies have to step back because God is with you. I know. He's with me. And he's taught my hands how to fight. And I can leap over a wall, thanks to the Lord. And on and on and on. You have all these other psalms where David's boasting. But he gets it right because this stuff came from the Lord. That my glory, my mountain, everything that is advantageous to me may sing your praise. And I won't be silent about you anymore. It's you, Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, I'll give thanks to you. Now, this is like the precursor for what Paul then says. Don't sit around the pub drinking silly songs of fools. No, you're children of light. You get up and you be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit influence you. Maybe you want to sing a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, like David learned to do. And in everything give thanks. This is God's will. Let me ask you something. Is there something you've been unusually thankful for? So yesterday I was working on the car. First of all, I was just glad I could work on the car. They cleared me. You can do this. I actually said to T, if there's any bolt that's tightened more than 25 pounds, I'm not allowed to touch it. Oh, Pop, I doubt if they're tightened more than 24. That's what he said. I thought, okay. But if I have to crank on something, I'm calling somebody up. I didn't want a 75-pound crank, for the block, the head on the block. I thought, I'd never get that. It would hurt me. And everything worked out well. I thank the Lord for that. Is that being filled with the Spirit? Well, I guess so, because I was giving him credit for daylight, for recovery. How about you? You have been in a situation and said, man, thank you, Lord, for working this out. You're filled with the Spirit. So you don't have to wonder about these things. If your conscience bothers you, nope, can't do that. I don't want God getting involved. He'll spank me. It'll be disciplinary. I've had enough of that. So I just want to go on with the Lord, and I want to redeem the time. I want to walk as a child of light. There you go. You're responding to the influence of the Holy Spirit. This isn't rocket science. You don't have to come up with 6 steps to be filled with the Spirit. You just be someone that says, Lord, everything that I have, I got from you, and I know it. And whatever I haven't figured out, I'm going to read Psalm 30 again. And that'll be humbling enough. Because I would like to praise you. I'd like to give you thanks. I'd like to move forward as someone redeeming the time. Someone that has a wonderful influence on the people around me, like the Inklings, who properly use their pub. Someone that lives beyond myself. Speaking to one another in psalms, like Psalm 30, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, being thankful. You guys are doing great. Hang in there. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Each of us are struggling in different ways with different things. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be wise, to redeem the time, that you might fill us with your Spirit. That's what you want to do. And I want more of you, but I don't want it to hurt. I'd like to be of benefit to those around me according to my gift, and not beyond that. I'd get stretched too thin just now. And I pray the same with the other members of the body, Lord, that you would fill them so that they would be fruitful in every good work, bringing glory to your name, because you did it. And that you would not hold back, but give them everything they need to have joy in this life. And to fulfill your will. And I pray this and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, who put this in here? There shall be